Blog Talk Radio.
With you again with another installment of DLR's Jewel Hour, Black News Network, BNN, Stuart Scott with Sports Center, and CNN Meets Urban America. How y'all doing out there? It's DL Randall, Derek L. Randall, coming back at you again. Hey, that DL Randall. Excuse me. The funny thing is, I don't even like the DL Randall tone too much. I like Derek L. Randall, but hey, that's who I am. That's what I am. It is what it is. How y'all doing out there in the radio world? What's good? It's Friday. Hey, going into the weekend. I hope everybody have an exciting weekend playing for them. I have a pretty good show lined up for us. Hot topics out there and the no topics pretty much. I'm going to get into that right now as we move forward. First topic of the day is NFL free agency. I know my sports heads out there want to hear about free agency if you haven't already. So I'll give you a little update on what's going on. For the most part, today, from just the recent Sports Center update I have in front of me. I'll go over it and give you a little bit of that. And we'll chop it up a little bit. We'll talk about a little sports. You know how we do. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. You know what I mean? So, right off the bat, we'll talk about, let me see here. I'm not going to go into Denver yet. Because you know me. I'm an avid Denver Broncos fan, so I won't go into that just yet. But I will get into it in a minute. First, I'm going to Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks and the free agency carousel that's going on right now. Recently agreed to a 3-year deal to with Jermaine Kearse to remain with the Seahawks. ESPN Adam Schefter reports Hurst 26 had 685 receiving yards last season. So the Seahawks are able to keep their wide receiver Jermaine Kearse, which is up for them, I guess. Green Bay, on the other hand, the Packers haven't made any really done anything in free agency, but reached a deal to re-sign former first round pick offensive linebacker Nick Perry, according to multiple sources. Robbie Gerhardt, one of the Jaguars' key signing 2 years ago, was released by the team on today. Actually, was released today. The interesting thing about Jacksonville is they actually signed Chris Ivory from the Jets. So they got a pretty good running back coming in. I think they'll have pretty good feedback from that. And I mean, it should, you know, it may do well for them. I don't know, you know. It's however it goes, it goes. Jacksonville has, you know, over the last couple of years been in a rebuilding stage. They're trying to get there. They have a pretty good quarterback out there with Broyles out of University of Central Florida. So hopefully they get things going. I look forward to that for them as well. On the backside of that, Matt Forte, the running back for the last couple of years for the Chicago Bears, agreed to sign with the New York Jets. So Forte is now in New York. He's left his where he's been known to play at with the Chicago Bears, and now he's with the Jets. So the Jets lose a running back, but they gain a running back. And Jacksonville gains a running back, but they lose a running back. So this is a carousel of NFL free agency. The Cowboys added defensive lineman from Philadelphia, Cedric Thornton, pretty good pickup for them, I suppose. The former Philadelphia Eagles DN could play at DT for Dallas. So he played DN in Philadelphia, but he'll play defensive tackle in Dallas, which is good for them. Now we'll get into my Broncos. We don't have a quarterback in them. Unfortunately, as I explained a little bit yesterday, and I got into it, and as you can notice, I was a little, you know, upset because, hey, I'm a Bronco fan, and I couldn't figure out how we don't have a quarterback, how we let that happen. You lose one of the greatest, no, the greatest regular season quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning, into retirement, which was, you know, we've seen that coming. That was foreseeable. But then, you know, everybody has high hopes because Brock Osweiler was great when Peyton was hurt this year and did good. I think he went 7-2 or 6-2, 7-1, something like that. However, he had a good record, and he had big upside going into the next season, going into this upcoming season. And we lose Brock Osweiler to, I said Brett earlier, I apologize, it's Brock Osweiler, my bad. And I wanted to keep him, I don't even know his name, right? Don't get on me yet. So, Brock Osweiler decides to sign with the Houston Texans, $72 million, 4-year deal, $37 million guaranteed. Hey, you can't blame the man. Hey, go where the money is and go where you have a good upside. I mean, I honestly believe he can do good things in Texas, so it was a good fit for him. But unfortunately for me as a Bronco fan, I don't have a quarterback right now. And I know I'm making this personal, but it is personal for me. So we don't have a quarterback right now. And I said a few minutes ago, and I meant that. But I come back the week. We don't have a quarterback as a team. And so it's a lot of controversy going on out there, who may be going to Denver and what Denver's going to do now without a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick name has came up, the San Francisco 49ers quarterback, who is disgruntled and really doesn't want to be in San Francisco by some report. has come up as a possible replacement for the Broncos as a quarterback. I don't see that as a bad fit, but Kaepernick hasn't really showed me anything, and I, once again, it's personal, showed me anything over the last couple of years with San Francisco since that great year he had with Jim Harbaugh. Hopefully, that could be the issue, just misplacement of coaching, and he needs a good coach, and hopefully Gary Kubiak is the coach that can do that for him. So maybe he lands in Denver, and he does well. At this point, we need a quarterback. Whatever happens, I'm willing to go with that. It's a rebuilding stage now. I mean, we're starting over kind of sorta. We're losing a lot of players. I seen yesterday where we lost our running back, C.J. Williams. He's going to where did he go? I have to look that up. But I'll get back with you and let you know where he went. But C.J. Williams – oh, Miami. C.J. Williams signed with – I'm sorry. C.J. Anderson has signed an offer sheet with the Miami Dolphins, according to USA Today Sports. It's worth $18 million over 4 years. The Broncos have 5 days to choose whether they want to match it. I don't know. I hope we match it. I think C.J. Anderson is a good fit for the Broncos. I don't want to see him go. We already lost the quarterback. I don't want to lose a running back as well. You know what I mean? Come on now. Let's get this thing together, John. Mr. Elway, you did excellent by bringing in my boy, Peyton Manning, and building a team around him. Let's not lose everything. But you often see that with championship teams. After the championship, the team and the players kind of start to see the money elsewhere and go other places. It's just the nature of the business. It's not an uncommon thing, but for me as a fan, it's troubling. Because my whole team is kind of falling apart in front of me. Also, Ryan Fitzpatrick has been talked about as being the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. It's an option for him, seeing how that would fit. And there's just a lot of scenarios out there. There's some scenarios thrown out there by RG3 even going to Denver. It's a lot of possibilities because at this point in time, if you don't have a quarterback, any quarterback is sufficient enough, especially when you're talking about the NFL, because you need a quarterback, period, point blank. That's my carousel of the NFL free agency. I'm not going to get too deep into it. Of course, I spent a lot of time on Denver because, hey, that's my team. Hey, that's where it's at for me. I think Denver should bounce back pretty well. We in a bad spot right now. We don't have a quarterback. I don't know what do you do without a quarterback. I mean, I'm just I don't know. It may seem like I'm all over the place, but I kind of feel all over the place as a Bronco fan right now. What do you do coming off a championship with the greatest regular season quarterback ever to retire? And we all understand that time has its course, and it was time for Peyton to retire if he decides to retire. Even if we seen it as if it was time, if he decided to play, that was up to him. But he retired, so now the Broncos have to move forward. I was just sure of the fact that we would be able to sign Brock Osweiler, and I'll keep that going, but we lost him. And you can't blame Brock. I mean, $72 million over 4 years, $37 million guaranteed to a team that doesn't have a quarterback at all. I mean, he's not even going in to compete. He's going in to start. So it was a great move for him. I wish Brock all the best in Texas, but I'm worried about Denver. I'm worried about my high right now. We don't have a quarterback, so I'm worried about what's going to happen with us. Mr. Elway, my boy, my main man, I've been with you for a long time. Let's get this thing together. Let's get it together. Now, we need this. We need us a team back in place. I'm not saying that we're not going to the Super Bowl next year, but I'm definitely not saying we're going to lose either. So it is what it is. I'm a Bronco fan. That's what I'm a diehard Bronco fan. If you don't know, you know now. And, of course, as I've always put out there and I continue to put out there on DLR's Jewel Hour, this is an open perspective platform. If you have insight, you want to share a perspective, you want to share, call in. I'm not going to condemn it. I'm not necessarily going to say I'm condoning it either. But at the end of the day, it's here for us to discuss and just to lay out our perspectives. That number is 718-664-9983. Call in and holler at me. I'm just running my mouth, man. This is what I do, you know. Run my mouth and talk about certain things and share my perspective. I have the platform and decided to share the platform with everybody else so they can, you know, share their perspective as well. If you choose to, call in. Holler at me. Until then, we got some good topics coming up later. Let's play some sounds right quick, and then we'll get back into these topics. But I'll give you an overview of what we got coming up. We got Hazel E. From Love and Hip Hop fame. She's actually presently, but maybe shake grounds, the girlfriend of Cat Williams, comedian Cat Williams. I'll get into that. I'll tell you all about that in a minute. Also, I'll break down Buffalo Soldier. Yeah, very profound subject matter. I'm going to be on today, the Buffalo Soldier. And later on, we'll talk about Lil Mama from My Lip Gloss is Popping. You know Lil Mama. Yeah, her. And the intoxicated substitute teacher. Don't even worry about it. I'll explain it to you later. But anyway, check out the sounds. As always, it's a Friday. We're going into the weekend. I'm going to try to get this thing jumping off right like I always do, you know, with some sounds that can get us a little bit moving and grooving. And I'll be back with you in a minute. As soon as I found these sounds. Oh, there it is. Okay, my bad. Here we go.
Girl, look, why are you looking like that again? Seriously, miss? I cannot deal with this insecurity. This dude is really stressing me out. I got too much I'm trying to do.
Okay,
really,
well, you know what?
Let it go.
I don't even need to hear the story. I'm going to take you to this club around the block because I got my new Chanel jacket.
Is,
hair
wait,
done.
Is Kim coming?
We're going to go pick up Kim.
Okay.
Let it go for real.
Holla.
You need to get it. He don't want to love you the right way. He ain't going to. It ain't where he's at. It's where he want to be.
But it ain't even gotta be like that. Yo, man, he be calling me back to say I'm fine, and a matter of fact, he asked how I do that. Fit my jeans over baby fat. Listen, I don't know the type of tricks he playing, but I should warn you, I don't want you, man.
Love you the way you should, and let it go.
Yeah.
The way you should, and let it go.
Hey.
club, they gon' be like, damn, that's hot.
Come on.
When they play it in the car, they gon' drop their pops like, damn, that's hot.
What?
They gon' make the fit bigger, it was all a dream. Like, damn, that's hot.
That's right.
Kim and Keisha don't stop till the ticket don't pop. Like, damn, that's hot.
That fire, yeah, let it go. Yeah, Keisha Cole's Missy Elliott, and Look Him, I believe, one of the great jams. It gets you up and grooving. That's what it's all about, you know what I mean? Good sounds, good music, and good conversation. That's what DLR's Jewel Owl is all about, man. Come on now, let's be real. Now, let's go into our second topic. Today, we'll talk about Cat Williams and his girlfriend. It's more about Hazel E. Hazel E was caught going into LAX in the airport after leaving Georgia. She had flew out of Georgia after she had just posted bond. She bonded out and posted bail. She was arrested. She actually was with Cat at his home when his home was raided recently. Cat Williams' home was raided, and then he was arrested for guns and weapons. And I think they went to raid him for attacking a bodyguard or something like that. Hazel E was kind of emotionally distraught. She felt as if, you know, the transgressions of what all had happened and what went down with the raid of Cat Williams' home and guns being pointed at her chest, that it was time for her to take a little break from Cat Williams. So she decided to leave and go back to L.A., and Cat, at that point in time, was still locked up. But recently he's bailed out on a $60,000 bond, and he's out. But she did say, she relayed in her own words, that she feels at this point in time that Cat Williams needs to get some help, because he seems very angry, and the anger is coming out, and the aggression is coming out in the wrong manner, and she has nothing but love for him. But I thought it was interesting, because maybe last week, I think I did some on Cat Williams, and he had attacked a store clerk because they had a falling out on miswords or, an exchange of words, and then Cat Williams threw something at him, then punched the guy, then went outside and lay down with his hands behind his back and waited on the police to arrive. Since then, he's been arrested. His house was raided at gunpoint. And Hazel E decides that that's where she's drawing the line. The interesting part about it is Hazel E is, of course, of Love and Hip Hop fame, of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood fame. She's an inspiring, I think, artist, I would say. I think she used to do some public relations before. She's been in the music industry for a while. And she's an up and coming artist. And I didn't know that her and Cat Williams were dating. I didn't even know that. So that was interesting, even to find out that her and Cat was dating. And then on top of that, to find out that they're now, as she say, quote unquote, they're on a break because what has happened as far as his home being raided and the guns being pointed at her chest, she decided to take a little break. And then, I mean, on the other side of that, she's saying openly that Cat has anger issues and he needs to deal with them. So, I mean, like I said previously when I was talking about Cat Williams the last time, I think Cat Williams is a great, great stand-up comedian, because, for one thing, for me, he lines up his parallel to Richard Pryor. They tell of their struggle, their pain. And, I mean, of course, Kevin Hart took the title to his stand-up saying, listen to my pain, or something about his pain, or hear my pain. I can't remember how exactly it goes, but the truth of the matter is, to be great as a comedian, most of the time, what we've seen over history, history has shown us, you have to reflect pain and show true life situations. The great comedians have done that and have been successful with it, and I think Cat lines up a lot with that. I think Cat for me, I mean, if you want to say a modern day Richard Pryor, this is my personal perspective. Remember now, like I said, we share our personal perspective here on the DLR's Jewel Hour, and you'll hear a lot of mine because I'm the host, but I'm open to others coming in and sharing theirs. I have no problem with that. I'm not going to shoot down your perspective, because if you're listening to mine, I appreciate it. So I'm going to appreciate listening to yours. So call in and chime in on this, 718-664-9983. But for me, Cat Williams is the equivalent to modern day Richard Pryor. And I say that, and I'm going to explain why I say that. I say that because, as I explained earlier, his stand-up comedic presentation is from a standpoint of his individual pain and true life is commitment. Directly parallel to Richard Pryor. And on the backside of that, on the stage, he's absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And like I said, this is me speaking. I mean, you may find somebody else hilarious, more funny than him. And don't think this equates to Richard Pryor. That's fine. This is just me breaking down where I see it from. Absolutely hilarious on stage. But off the stage, it seems like he cannot find a way to stay out of trouble. He's continuously in trouble, and it seems detrimental to him as an individual. And we've seen a lot of that in Richard Pryor as well. Richard Pryor was great as an actor, as a comedian. And, I mean, you should have the same things with Cat Williams. Think about it. Cat Williams was great in Next Friday in all the movies he played in. I mean, he was great, a great actor. He's a great stand-up comedian, but it's just outside when he steps off the stage and out of the limelight where it seems like trouble and the demons that he had personally that follows him. But those are the same demons that we laugh at when he's standing up giving his comedic performance. And that's the thing. That's why, for me, he equates a lot to Richard Pryor. Not taking anything from Cat. I think Cat is a great person. As far as I know of him as a comedian and as a public image, for me, he's fine. We all have troubles. It just seems at this point in time, the rain is pouring instead of just falling for him. And you know, inside of understanding that can happen to all of us, I'm not going to shoot Cat down. I wish him the best, and I hope things change for him. I hope he gets the help that he needs and moves forward. Because as a comedian and as a performer, he's absolutely great at what he does. You can't take that away from him. You may not agree, you may not see it that way, but he absolutely is. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. And moving forward on Cat Williams and Hazel E, I just had to put that out there because I didn't know they was dating. I mean, come on, maybe I'm the only one in the world to know that. I'm sorry. And somebody, I did enlighten you by telling you that. I'm glad I was able to because I didn't know. I mean, I think I'm a little bit in the know sometimes, and sometimes I'm not. So it's so much going on. You never know. You know what I mean? And like I said, if you have a point of view or something you want to share on that, just call in 718-664-9983. I'm here running my mouth. I will go into the next topic, though, because I think this is a topic here is straight up disturbing. I think disturbing is my new word. My wife tells me all the time I come up with these new words. So this is my new word, disturbing. I've been saying that a lot lately. In Sanford, Florida, a substitute teacher was accused of showing up to work intoxicated. And this was at an elementary school, which is just far-fetched for me. A 52-year-old female elementary substitute teacher showed up to the school presumably intoxicated. She was falling down. She couldn't keep her eyes open, and her words were slurred. Someone notified the administration of this. The principal came down to talk to her. The principal asked her to stand up from her desk. She stood up from her desk, walked outside, and was talking to him, and fell out. I can't for the life of me understand. Why would you go to work that early in the morning drunk? But this is the crazy part about it. We don't get out of the whole standpoint of the intoxicated part and being drunk. Supposedly, from the reports of the officer that showed up on scene when the school called the police to come for enforcement, not because she was rowdy or anything, but just because it was a violation. The police showed up, and from the report, it says that she had a water bottle full of a substance that was light in color, and smelled of alcohol. So this is the thing. She didn't only show up drunk. It seemed like she was at the school getting drunk, teaching the kids. Come on now, for real. Who goes to work with your drink? I mean, it's one thing to wake up with a hangover and be a little tipsy at work. I mean, everybody's not going to admit to it, but some of us have done it before. I can admit I've done it. I don't drink anymore, but when I used to drink, it was nice that on Sunday nights, I took it a little too far, and Monday morning, I got up still still feeling a little bit of what I was feeling the night before. But I've never, even as a self-proclaimed alcoholic to this day, I have never went to work with my drink. I have never done that. I have never. And then on top of that, okay, my whole pretty much working and employment career was in the military. So it was one thing to go to work drunk anyway. But it's a whole nother thing to go to work drinking and you're in the military. Now, that's pretty big. But look at it this way. You go to a school, an elementary school, to teach kids with your drink with you. How do you assume for the next 8 hours of this day you can control kids on an elementary level and drink at the same time? That is not going to work, playboy or playgirl. That just wasn't going to happen. I don't know how she felt she was going to pull that off. Of course, she's a substitute, but even that should brought more light to the understanding of it's more. It's going to be more of a spotlight on me than the regular teacher. How do you come to school, for one, elementary school? And I keep saying elementary because we're talking about not even adolescent kids. We're talking about young kids. I'm not sure what the classroom or what the ages were of the kids or what grade it was, but it just says it was elementary school in Sanford, Florida. It does give the name and all that, but we don't have to get into that because we're just talking on the topic of going to school as a substitute teacher and being intoxicated. That is absolutely absurd and disturbing to me. I do not understand it. I mean, this much I will share with you. When I was drinking, if I woke up and I felt as if I was still too drunk or intoxicated or I wanted to keep my party going, I wasn't going to work. You can believe that. I wasn't finna go in front of them. That would be one day they'd miss me, for real, or come look for me. I don't understand what made her think that it was a good idea, for one, to go to work drunk. Then on top of that, to take a water bottle full of alcohol with you to finish drinking while you're at the school. I mean, you're already drunk. It's one thing to be sober and take the alcohol and be slipping it, but you're drunk. So you're already giving away. But then I will admit this. A drunk, you can't tell they're drunk. You can't tell them they're drunk. They will swear you down, slurring, falling down, and everything. You swear, there ain't nothing wrong with them. So maybe that's where she was at. I don't know. I just thought it was disturbing. And on the backside of it, from a parent that has a daughter and sons that are in school, it's very it's bothersome to think about this is where we're at. I think it should be a screening or something. I don't know. What do you do, though, at the end of the day? How do you screen for people coming in intoxicated? Because you can't control that. If I want to come to work drunk, that's my choice that morning. I could have been an outstanding teacher all year and one morning just decide if something goes wrong with me. But I just would think as adults and mature individuals, we would make better decisions than that. That's terrible. Man, that's absolutely terrible. I'm just going to be real. That's bothersome. Even to think about the fact that not only did you go there drunk, you went there with alcohol with you. What you was thinking? Like, what are you guys' outlook on that? Like I said, call in and let me know. I mean, I know somebody has a perspective on this. My number is 718-664-9983. Call in, man. I'm just running my mouth. You know what? And in some ways, I have a smile on my face. And I'm kind of smirking and laughing at this because it's so absurd. It is so absurd, but it's not funny. And that's the sad part about it. It's not funny at all because it's serious. It's very serious. How do we get to a point where you think it's okay to go to work intoxicated with kids, period? And you are an educator. So, I mean, not only are you in a position where what your job requires is fundamental for the growth and development of kids, you're in a situation where kids look up to you. Come on, man, let's be real. Why would you go there drunk or inebriated, not being the person you are, or altered in any state, because you're not going to give your best to these kids? I mean, that's our future. That's tomorrow. That's everything. What is going on, man? I don't know. You see, she got me. This story really, and then it's crazy because this story wasn't originally supposed to be on today's show, and I came across it, and I was like, I have to talk about it. I just have to. I can't wait to Monday or put this off. I have to talk about this now. And I would really love some feedback on it. If anybody want to call in, let me know what their outlook was or is on it. 718-664-9983. If not, I'll be back with you in a minute. We'll talk about Buffalo Soldier. I'll break that down for you. And then later on, we'll talk about Lil Mama. Hope you guys enjoying your day. Like I said, it's Friday. Go out there, have some fun, get this work day over with. And in a little bit, it'll be the weekend. You can have fun and do what you do. Hey, but until then, let this music make you feel good.
They can hate if they wanna. I don't care. Yeah. I said, let them hate if they wanna. Go for nowhere.
What you know, boy?
Keep saying you can do better with somebody else.
Hey.
Saying I'm dangerous, but you can do that all by yourself.
Hey.
Everybody got something to say,
and you don't even wanna see why they talk so badly. I actually make you happy.
All that matters is a simple
way. And I don't even give a damn. I'm a better man, so tell them if they wanna hit it again.
Yeah.
Let them hate if they want. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, Raheem Devon. That's a great hit right there. My sugar cookie turned me on to that. It's so good looking, sugar cookie. I appreciate it. That's one of my jams that get you groove and get you hype. And also let you understand that, you know what I mean? Hey, it is what it is. What you do in your relationship, what you do with what you want to do with it, that's what you do. Hey, don't worry about all the rest of that. Just worry about what you can deal with and what you've got control over. Inside of saying that, I move into breaking down Buffalo Soldier. Buffalo Soldier is a term that's used a lot, but a lot of times I don't know if we really all know the meaning and the understanding and the history of a Buffalo Soldier. It has a profound meaning and a history to it. It also, it's an empowering entity and statement in its own. I'm going to explain, though. African-Americans have proudly served in every great American war. Over 200,000 African-Americans, servicemen, fought bravely during the Civil War. In 1866, through an act of Congress, legislation was adopted to create six all-African-American Army units. The units were identified as the 9th and 10th Cavalry and the 39th, 38th, 40th, and 41st Infantry Regiments. The four infantry units were recognized in 1868 as the 24th and 25th Infantry. Black soldiers enlisted for 5 years and received $13 a month, far more than they could have earned in a civilian life. I'm sorry. Wow. So let me read that back. Black soldiers enlisted for 5 years and received $13 a month, far more than they could have earned in civilian life. The 10th Cavalry was formed at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and recruited soldiers from the northern states. Colonel Benjamin Chisholm was selected to command the 10th Cavalry. Colonel Edward Hatch was selected to command the 9th Cavalry, and he recruited soldiers from the South and set up his headquarters in Greenville, Louisiana. The troops were led by white officers. Many officers, including George Armstrong Custer, refused to command black regiments and accepted a lower rank rather than do so. The black regiments could only serve west of the Mississippi River because of the prevailing attitudes following the Civil War. The Buffalo Soldiers' main charge was to protect settlers as they moved west and to support the westward expansion by building the infrastructure needed for new settlements to flourish. The name Buffalo Soldiers has become interesting lore in itself. There seems to be three possible reasons for the name. One, it is said that the curly hair of the soldiers reminded them of the buffalo. Two, they were given the name because of their fierce, brave nature reminded them of the way buffaloes fought. And third, it may have been because they wore thick coats made from buffalo hide during winter. Whatever the reason, the term was used respectfully with honor. The Buffalo Soldier. I gave you a synopsis of the history of the Buffalo Soldier. Now I'll break down to you the culturally understanding of the Buffalo Soldier. For everyone, when you hear Buffalo Soldier, outside of even the black culture, it's a commanding and empowering statement. It means a force that is to be reckoned with. It means, this is my personal perspective on my understanding of it, but I'm sharing it openly. And as I always say, and I continue to say, if you have an insight and a perspective you want to share, call in 718-664-9983. I'm here. But I go into it in my personal perspective. Buffalo Soldier basically for me means it's empowerment. It's an understanding of at a time when the country was split and we were at a civil war that a culture decided to stand up, the black culture decided to stand up and join in a part of this war and to fight for what they felt was right. And in doing so, they made a name for themselves. The name became profound in history till this day that when you hear Buffalo Soldier, you feel empowered or understanding of that's something serious. That's a force to be reckoned with. And this all came from the history I read to you earlier of this regiment of black soldiers of infantry and of a cavalry regiment in the military that were a force. They named supposedly it was three different ideas that it came from, but one is they fought so fiercely that they reminded you of a buffalo, and the other one is their gear was made out of buffalo hide, so that gave it also. But just think about seeing a buffalo and you are in a situation where it's confliction when you see a buffalo come up. It's a commanding presence in that. And this name was given to black soldiers. So what I'm saying here is when in situations and there's a struggle and there's a need for empowerment and understanding of strength, when we come together as units, because of course these are cavalries and regiments, which are units of individuals collectively put together fighting for one cause, we become profound, period, point blank. So much so that the word Buffalo Soldier to this day is synonymous with the understanding that I'm a go get 'em. I'm gonna make it happen. That for me is history in itself. It goes back to the core of what every day when I break down a subject matter, what I'm getting at. There's strength in our culture. There's strength in the Black community. But we have to come together collectively, Black Wall Street, i.e. Soul Food, i.e. The Black Matrix, i.e. Buffalo Soldier. All these things are collective units that we as a culture came together and was just being ourselves and being what is true to us in our characteristic and our makeup. And this is how profound it becomes in a societal stance and an overall outlook of the world. I mean, these are impactful events. These are things that live forever. Even when you look at hip-hop, when I broke hip-hop down and I talked about how it all started in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, New York, where it was just people having block parties and they decided to bring out a DJ and just do it. Hip-hop was born from people just doing the black culture just doing, I'm not going to say people, the Black culture. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. The Black culture just doing what is natural to them and being themselves, and it changed the world. Hip-hop today is probably the most profound and the most impactful culturally stance that you can name in any atmosphere of anything we talk about. Hip-hop is more powerful than politics. Let's be real. Politics may control a lot of things, but if you really want to influence something, get into hip-hop. You can influence everything. Right now, the whole outlook in fashion and everywhere, the way that the youth and the adolescents of today think is built around their understanding of hip-hop. That's influence. That's powerful. That came from Black culture. Listen to what I'm saying to you. We are profound. We have to believe it for ourselves. If you don't believe me just saying it to you, I'm giving you history showing you this. I'm breaking down things that are fundamental to the understanding of the fact that when you go back and look at it as a culture, the African-American culture has always found a way to prevail, so much so that it's profound. Profoundly, it's beyond us even, it's beyond the Black culture even understand how big it is. Because if we could understand and put our arms around the grasp of how big Black Wall Street was, how big the Black Matrix is, how big hip-hop is, how big Buffalo Soldier is, how big the Prodigal Son, all these things, when you put them in together, it lays out that blueprint for us to succeed. But we have to believe in it. We have to understand that those that came before us did these things not because they wanted accolades or awards. They did it because that's who they were. And sometimes that's the easiest way to do anything. Just be who you are. Be who you are. And genuinely being yourself will get you farther than trying to be something that you're not. I'm just telling you from my own personal experience. And some people may disagree with that, and I have no problem with that. But from my personal experiences, genuinely being who I am has gotten me to the point that I am at. And I'm okay with where I'm at because I'm genuinely me. And so it may not be as prestigious as some may think or prestigious as I may have wanted for myself. But at the end of the day, I'm okay with it because I understood prestige lives in me. When I understand my own prestige, that's how I. So the only prestige you can get from me is what I give to you. And understanding that and saying that, a Buffalo Soldier means a lot to me because it was culturally based off where I come from. It's the understanding of if you give me nothing, if you give me scraps, if you tell me I can't be a part of your army, and if you don't want to leave my army because I'm a Black soldier, I'm still going to be a good soldier. I'm going to be a great soldier, so much of a great soldier that when I'm dead and gone, the words Buffalo Soldier, Tuskegee Airmen, all these things are going to be more profound than any other thing that you can talk about in the Civil War, and it wasn't even our war. Think about that. Just think about that. Inside of breaking that down, I'm going to play this for you because I think this fits perfectly. And I'll come back later and we'll talk about Little Mama and chop it up a little bit on that. But I had to break down Buffalo Soldier. I thought it was it's a profound subject matter. I think a lot of times we don't really know the ins and outs of where Buffalo Soldier come from. I can guarantee you some people don't even know the whole Buffalo Soldier thing has something to do with the black culture. Buffalo Soldier was named after black African-American army regiments, military regiments, and cavalry during the Civil War. Really? I mean, we get taught the Civil War in school, and they never talk about that that side. The movie Glory and all that never came out. You would never know these things. It's not really, you know, publicly put out there like that. But this is our history. This is our history. When you ask me about history and you want to talk about history, I don't necessarily want to talk about George Washington all the time. I don't necessarily want to talk about Emancipation Proclamation all the time. I want to talk about my people. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk about what was their input. What was the little guy like me that's on the radio today? How would I fit into back then? You know what I'm saying? So if I would have been a Buffalo Soldier, that's profound. That's a part of history. That's what I want to know. Let me know what I can aspire to be because of what I've seen my people do. If I don't hear that, I never know where I can go. So part of me sharing these breakdowns and giving you these things and these insights on African-American and black culture is because I want my people, where I come from, to understand it's a whole world out there. It's a whole world out there, and it belongs to us. It belongs to every morning I get up, every day that I arise, and I'm in the world, this is my world. I wasn't here for no other reason. If not, I wouldn't be in this world. It ain't nobody else's world. What I project and what I do makes this mine. If not, then there's no need of me being here. With that being said, I'll play this, and I'll be back with you in a minute. Check it out.
America, stolen from Africa, brought to
Buffalo Soldier by the late, great Bob Marley. I mean, the song sums it up. I didn't really do enough justice. I guess I didn't do due diligence, because at the end of the day, Bob said it best. Buffalo Soldiers, you know, dreadlock roster, soldiers in the Army of America. It is what it is. It is. Do you know your history? Do you know your heritage? Do you understand how profound and impactful we have been as a part of the history of America? From even points back, I could go back to slavery and how we were so instrumental in building and developing the foundation of this country, this country now that we live in. That sometimes seems like it's against us. I mean, but you have to be mindful of saying what's against you, because if it's against you, it may be against other races as well. So it's not an individual thing. It's just more of a collective understanding that we have to come to, that numbers in the masses, we make a bigger difference, i.e. Buffalo Soldiers, i.e. Black Wall Street, i.e. Hip-hop. You can make your impact. Just be who you are. You don't need to go outside the means of that. Everybody that's profound and who has a standpoint and who stands out, it does so because they went against the grain at some point. And there's nothing wrong with that. Please understand me. Don't live in a box. It's okay if that's what you're fine with. If contentment is good for you, that's fine with my soul. I'm not willing to be content. I strive, and my drive is to be all I can be. And contentment don't live there. It just doesn't. I don't think I ever sit still. And in saying that, I don't see it as a bad thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't. Some people may see it as like, when do you ever relax? I relax when God tells me to relax. I might be relaxing in this moment. This might be relaxation for me. It's what God gives me and understand I have for what I'm doing that drives me, and I'm okay with that. I don't really have to line up with anyone else. Anyway, I broke that down, and I'm glad. I hope anyone out there was able to get something from it. I really don't have a lot of time to go into Lil Mama, but I will put this out there. Recently, Lil Mama of Lip Gloss popping fame and the judge on the MTV dance thing. She was recently busted and arrested for driving 10 miles over the limit. Her license was revoked. So from a 2013 ticket for driving the limit. So my thing was, well, how would you not know your license revoked from 2013 and you still speeding? Not a good look. But anyway, since then she's apologized and said she was totally irresponsible to drive without a valid driver's license, and that she will continue to try to be a role model for young men and young women. So big ups to her, and you know what I mean? Things happen. Make better decisions moving forward, little mama. With that being said, hey, I'm going to get out of here, guys. I'll check you guys, and I have a 72-hour break. I see you on Monday, and we'll get back at it again. DLR's Jewel Hour, Black News Network, being in. Stuart Scott meets Stuart Scott's Wit Sports Center, Urban American meets CNN. It is what it is, man. I enjoy you guys, as always. I'm gonna get you out of here with some jam. So go into your Friday and your weekend having some fun, man. Here we go. Check y'all later.
This one is dedicated for all the workers that work 9 to 5. You wanna party? Yeah. Hey, it's Friday. Let's party tonight. Party, baby. It's Friday. Gonna party. Now we gonna party and get my groove on. Get my groove on. It's Friday. Friday, baby. Baby, and I'm gonna party to the break of dawn. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I did my work this week. Woo! And baby, I just got paid. Gonna go buy me a fresh pair of gators with some of the money that I made. Man, waiters on the radio. By the whiskey, I think I'll go by the stove to get me a bottle so I can be ready. Oh, yeah. To get my groove on the dance floor. Baby, baby, it's Friday, 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 baby. And I'm gonna party, party, and get my groove on. Get my groove on.
Break the break, the break of dawn.